Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Mouse's Head for another episode of Diz After Dark. As always, I'm your host, P-Dubs, and joining me for this wonderful trip report is, first of all, Craig.
Hello.
And the trip report man himself, Mr. D.
Merry Christmas. Yo ho ho.
Trip report man, the worst superhero ever.
And I suppose, is my superpower?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to find out by the end of this episode. As you just said, Merry Christmas. So I suppose I better go to you for your drink first.
Well, Craig was said that he was listening to like Christmas radio earlier on, so I thought, right, fine. I went in the cupboard, had a little rummage about, and found the dregs of a bottle I got last year, which is Christmas pudding gin.
So, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so I was a bit bold with it. I couldn't see how much was in the bowl, but I knew it wasn't much, so I tipped it in a glass, and it turns out it's quite a lot, actually. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll see you at New Year. I'll wake up at New Year, I think.
Happy Easter.
Another one joining Boniface and Nick in the Mouse's Head toilets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's getting busy off in there. Yeah.
It really is. There's probably only at least one cubicle left now, I reckon.
I've got a Genie Plus for it, though. I'll get in all right. Don't worry.
Craig, how about you?
Well, like I've just said, off mic or on mic, but off mic, this cold from wifey's just come on me overnight. So I'm drinking a 3-tea bag Yorkshire Bedtime Tea in my Terminator 2 3D mug.
Nice.
3 tea bags.
That's vintage now, that is.
Yeah, very much so. I'm drinking from a Starbucks Hollywood Studios mug, but I've got decaf coffee because this morning at work, I drank a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi Max in 2 or 3 hours. So I'm trying.
Still buzzing.
Yeah, I'm trying to wind myself down with a decaf.
Last time we recorded with you, you were drinking a double espresso coffee from Costa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was a dark, intense coffee last time, but no, this time it's a decaf. And I suppose on that note, today we should raise our glass to Disney being 100 years on the day we record this.
Yes, woo.
Have you watched the new short yet?
No, I haven't. Have you guys watched it?
No.
I've watched it a couple of times. It's very clever.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, certainly for people like us, because it's all done within the animation building in Burbank.
All right. Right.
So it pulls at the heartstrings. Let's put it that way. So it's definitely worth a raise of the mug or the glass tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at, before we come on, we've just been watching Wrexham. So I've just gone onto the Disney 100 banner on Disney Plus. I didn't realise that Home Alone in the 90s was Disney. I didn't realise Alien in the 80s was Disney. Bit cheeky.
It is. But it is what it is.
Yep,
yeah. It belongs to him now.
Yeah.
So the house that Walt built, should we say.
So I was watching Disney Plus before we came on, and I watched the season finale, because I'm catching up, of Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, we haven't started season 3.
Oh, you haven't?
No, we haven't either.
Right, don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it was good. It lived up to, I think it lived up to the other two.
Yeah. Why have they never put the podcast out?
Yeah, that's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe we should do it.
Yeah.
Craig and Clay, Selena Gomez.
I've got a controversial opinion for you, though.
Oh.
Right, so last week I watched The New Haunted Mansion.
Right.
And I gotta say, right, the first, you guys have seen it, haven't you? The New Haunted Mansion, right?
No.
You haven't?
No, but it doesn't matter. I'm not bothered.
Oh, I'm not gonna give any spoilers anyway. I thought the first 25 minutes were absolute shit. I thought it was crap dialogue, unlikable characters. Just couldn't get on with it, but I persevered with it, and I will admit
let me just get this out from underneath the bar, blow the dust off it.
Is this soap shotgun?
Dishes, soap dishes, soap box. Go on, you can stand on that.
Soap dishes, so anyway, this will be short. It's not going to be a long one, but in the end, I enjoyed it. I thought it did get better. It did get a little bit funnier because it wasn't funny at all at the beginning. I didn't think. Did get a little bit funnier, and visually it's amazing, you know, the special effects, as you would expect. It's a big budget movie these days, CGI. It does look great. And it was pretty good. At the end, I thought, yeah, okay, it's pretty good.
I think for people like us, it's probably better than maybe the general public because of the content of it.
That's right, because you got a lot of nods to the ride, and we've got a lot of the backstory and things like that. I do think you're right, Paul. I think your average guy in the street just looking at it as an entertaining movie, they'd probably knock it down a little bit from where I'm thinking. I mean, I'm thinking it's kind of 6 out of 10, right? So not great, but not terrible. Hated the start of it, got better.
Yeah.
So I thought, just for a laugh, right, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch the Eddie Murphy version because it gets absolutely panned. Everybody says it's crap. And I have seen it. I've seen it probably once or twice, at least once. But it's been a long time. And here's the controversial opinion. I watched the Eddie Murphy version. I'm not going to say it was better than the new version, but it was just as good. In some ways better, in some ways not quite as good. Obviously, visually, still pretty good visually, but maybe not quite as strong visually. But I think it's funnier. I think the characters are nicer. The story, if you're a Haunted Mansion purist, the story is maybe not quite there, but it's a good story, I thought. But I'm going to say it was at least as good, maybe even slightly better, as a movie than the new one. There we are. I'm just putting it out there. And part three is I'm now currently rewatching Muppet Haunted Mansion, and it's the best of a lot of them. But I haven't finished it again. I've watched it before, but I haven't finished it again. So there you go. Come on, argue your case, you know, prove me wrong, whatever.
And there we have the return of Soap Dishes Soapbox.
Hey, jelly deals. Call blame me, governor. I'm back.
So we aren't here to discuss Mr. D's love of the original Haunted Mansion film. But we are here to talk about... We are here to talk about another love of Mr. Days, and that is a trip report.
Yay. I had a trip.
You did have a trip. You had a wonderful trip.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to retire so I can have all the trips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not that far off, Craig, so it's all right.
I'm talking magic mushrooms. Well, carry on.
Where do you want to start, Mr. Day?
So, I mean, just at the beginning, really, there was a couple of things that people might be interested in. I'm not going to go through excruciating detail. I think I really just wanted to hit the highlights and things that I thought people might be interested in and a few little opinions, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure people will love to hear about your use of Genie Plus because everybody loves Genie Plus.
Ah, right, okay. So I've got some things to say about Genie Plus, definitely, and individual attraction selections.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Four of us went, as I said before, me, wife Kerry, daughter Heather, and we've all been multiple times. In fact, this was our 15th time at Walt Disney World, 16th time to Florida, 15th time to Walt Disney World. But Heather's boyfriend, Nick. It was his first time in the States, first time in any kind of theme park. So it was all like new to him. Because of that, we did make it a little bit of our greatest hits because, you know, we wanted to share some of the things that we had liked with him. We did try one or two new things, but a lot of it was stuff that we'd done before. When we started, we flew from Gatwick, we flew BA from Gatwick. We did, the last time we went, we booked a lounge. We decided we were going to do it again. So this time we booked the number one lounge in Gatwick South Terminal. And it's strange though. It's a couple of quid dearer, but if you book it early, you can get some deals. We got a deal. I think it was 30 odd quid each, but it is worth booking early. So there's your first top tip, book early, because there was a big line when we got there and they were turning people away.
And I think that's some something that's not touched on enough is these lounges. It doesn't get mentioned that often, but the British airports have got a wide range of these lounges.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that you've tried a different one this time.
Yeah, and you can get a pass. I think it's called a priority pass. You can buy a pass which lasts for a year and it gets you into all these lounges. We didn't do that. We just paid a one off, but we did get a deal. Did get a discount because we booked it early. And we got a deal through, I think it was American Express. We got an American Express card and they were offering some money off. So you get a nice lounge. And the good thing about the number one lounge is you've got a nice view of the runway, so you can see the planes taking off and that sort of thing. You get food, so there's a reasonable selection of food, and it was a reasonable quality. So you had things like scrambled egg, sausage, bacon, tater tots, strangely enough, beans, all that kind of stuff. Plus they got like cereal, yogurt, porridge. Porridge was pretty sloppy, but apart from that, like muffins, little pastries, but there's a full bar as well. So if you want a few drinks before you go, and you want a bite to eat, it probably is at least break even. But definitely, if you have a couple of drinks, you're probably going to make money on it. We had one or two drinks, but nothing crazy. We had a few coffees as well. But you get 3 hours in the lounge, but that's 3 hours from when your flight leaves. And don't forget, you got to get to the gate. So you get about 2.5 hours in the lounge, and that was plenty. That was fine. So very good, definitely worth it. We got on the flight then, BA flight, and I know that like Ryan's had some problems with BA, and we don't really trust BA because of, you know, some of the strikes they've had and things like that. But I gotta say, the flight was really good. The staff were really friendly, and you know, couldn't do enough for us. The food was actually pretty good on the way out. On the way back, it's pants, I gotta say, right? That's last couple of times we've been, the food coming back, it's obviously a different company that does it, coming from the States, really not good. But going up was great. Everyone was on time. The flight was fairly full because we flew on a Saturday. But coming back, it wasn't bad at all, and we were able to spread out a bit. We came back on, I think it was a Monday night, getting in on a Tuesday morning. So maybe, you know, avoid weekends if you can. We couldn't this time, unfortunately. We got to Terminal C, the new terminal. I know there's been some people saying they don't like it, but I got to be honest, it's very seamless. I mean, you walk from the plane, you got a little bit of a walk, but you did have with the old terminal anyway. Then you get to the big entrance hall. It's like a massive baggage claim area. You pick up your bags and then you are straight through immigration and customs and you're out. So it's different from the old terminal. You got no monorail or anything like that. And once again, I can't talk about picking up a hire car because we used the town car thing again. And that was fantastic. You know, the guy kept in touch via WhatsApp. We told him we were picking up our bags. He said, yep, I'll be outside. He told us where to meet him. It was right by the like the Disney coaches and the Mia's coaches, and that was it. We were gone. So we got to where we were going, which wasn't Disney that night. It was Winter Park. We'll talk about that on Orlando, but so a little teaser there. We had a night in Winter Park, and that'll be coming in a future episode of Craig's Morlando. But the next day then, the same guy picked us up. We did a little grocery stop at Publix and then straight to the Polynesian for 12 nights in the Poly. And We checked in. You can check in online in theory, but if you're in the UK, we struggled with it last year, so I just didn't bother this time. I just
I
went in for.
agree. I tried to do the same at the Disneyland hotel, and it wouldn't work either. And then they tried to take payment while I was on the plane because I hadn't checked in, so that didn't work.
Ouch. To be honest, I mean, like I say, we weren't that bothered. I wanted to go at the front desk anyway because I wanted to just check a couple of things. This was a DVC stay, so I wanted to make sure we because I won't go into the details, but we had two reservations for one room. I'd used points that came from one contract and another contract, and I just wanted to make sure they were linked. I'd already done like an online chat with a cast member, and he said he'd linked them, but I just wanted to double check because otherwise Heather and her boyfriend would be maybe asked to move rooms halfway through the stay. So anyway, I wanted to go at the front desk. Went to the front desk, put a credit card on the room, Craig. Didn't have any issues, gotta be honest. So I think that issue that
Yeah,
you
credit
had
card. Yeah.
might be debit card specific.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It was fine. I mean, credit card went on the room. Through the stay, you could use the My Disney Experience app. You could see all the charges that were going against the room using Magic Band or whatever. And at the end of it, the night before you check out, they emailed us a bill. It all looked fine, and you don't need to do anything. They just charge it to your card then. So that all worked fine. We got the rooms. I'd done a room request through Tour and Plans as I usually do. And I'd requested a specific building, that was my first priority. And I'd requested a high floor, that was my second priority. And my third priority was the side that it was facing on. I wanted to face towards the quiet pool. And it's better not to put too much in your room request, give them a clear first, second, third. So anyway, we got the building we wanted. We got top floor. There is only like ground floor, first floor, second floor. They call it first, second, third, obviously, in America. So we got top floor, and lo and behold, we got the most. If you go on Tour and Plans, I've watched some of the vlogs. They say this room is the most requested room on Tour and Plans. It's the DVC room that everybody wants because it was a standard view room, but it's right at the end of the building, and you've actually got a view across the lake. So it was an absolutely cracking room. We were basically from our balcony. We could see the Magic Kingdom, we could see the Contemporary, we could actually see the TTC and the boats going across from the TTC. You could see the Grand Floridian, you could see the monorails heading towards the Magic Kingdom. It was just stunning. It was an absolute corking room. And that was our home for 12 nights. We had a great time. We explored a bit more of the Poly than we did last year. Last year was our first day in the Poly, and
I was going to ask
we
if you
yeah.
used any of the facilities, because this is the hotel that if I got my way, this would be where I stayed every time at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, we've visited all of them now, I think, and it's still I think it's still I'm still happy that we chose that as our home resort. We can obviously book the other ones at 7 months, but I'm still happy. I mean, the Grand Floridian is grander, but the Polynesian, I don't know, there's just a nice, relaxed vibe about it. And I gotta say, right, we watched the fireworks from the beach on the Poly, and they pipe in the music. And we were actually able to watch them from our veranda as well, and we could still hear the music from the beach. We didn't know that until I think the second time we saw the fireworks, but the view from the beach in the Poly is really, really good. I mean, anybody can go there. Just get there, probably, if you want a seat, get there an hour before and just go to the Poly, get yourself something to eat and something to drink, take it down to the beach and stake out your place on a little chair. Little chairs they've got there. And you will literally be sitting on a deck chair, or it's like a, not a deck chair, but it's like a heavy deck chair. And you'll be sitting on the beach and you'll be watching the fireworks right in front of you, and the music will be piped in behind, and it's great. I mean, obviously you can't see the light projection show, but you can see the castle, and you get a really good appreciation of just how massive the fireworks are. So we did that a few times. We used the quiet pool once or twice. Did actually get into the big pool, the volcano pool, once. And we did actually get into Trader Sam's, which I was really pleased about. You do have to put your name on a waiting list. They've got a like an iPad waiting list, and they give us a time to come back. If you are American, they'll take your phone number. If you're British, they'll just give you a time to come back. And I'll another top tip, I'll come back. They do the same thing in other places. They don't want to be texting UK phone numbers because I think it costs money. So they just gave us a time. We went back and we actually got a table. You're not guaranteed a table in Trader Sam's because it's such a small place. But we got a really nice table and we all had some nice cocktails. And I mean, we didn't know half of the stuff that was going on. I hadn't really genned up on, you know, when certain people order a drink, depending on the drink you order, stuff happens, a volcano erupts, the tiki god comes to life, people shout things. It's all a bit of fun, really. It's quite good.
It's like the basis of Ogres. Ogres has taken a lot from Trader Sam's and put it into a galaxy far, far away, in my opinion. Yeah. I definitely think there's a template between those two and how popular Trader Sam's always is. There was a queue out the door at Disneyland because, of course, I was staying in the building next to it at Disneyland. I could see it. We come into the lobby and it was literally right in front of us, and there was always a queue from the moment it opened every night.
It's the same with this one. I mean, the queue starts before they start taking bookings. I can't remember if it's 2. I think it might be 2 or 2:30. They start taking bookings and it opens at 3 maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, the queue will start before that. And then, but, you know, during the week, it's definitely quieter. And what we did was we had a day where we were going back to the resort early, and we just went straight to Trader Sam's. We put our name on the waiting list. She said, come back in 3 hours' time, which was fine. That gives us a chance to just chill by the pool. And we were ready. When we were ready, we went to Trader Sam's. It was good. So, yeah, we did do a lot more in the resort and really enjoyed it. That was great. But that first night we got there, we checked into the room. We ate in the quick service restaurant, Captain Cook's, which is good. We had a couple of meals in there.
That was refurb not that long ago, wasn't it?
It looks the same, but it might have been, you know, I think they've just maybe tidied it up. You're right, though. There was a couple of things that were in slightly different positions from where it used to be. But yeah, it's a good solid quick service. They've got a couple of really nice things on the menu. It isn't a huge menu, but it's enough. And they've got all the usual kind of things in the fridges and drink station and all that. So we had a quick bite to eat there. We got ready for the Halloween party, and we then went to Mickey's Not So Scary on our first night. It was our second night in America, but first night in Disney. It was a fully booked night, so they said it was sold out as we walked in. They usher you up the side path, and you get your little trick-or-treat bag, which is more like a kind of bag for life type thing now. It used to be a little plastic bag, now it's a heavy-duty thing. And we went trick-or-treating. We got loads of stuff. I mean, it's all like Skittles, M&Ms, Mars bars, Milky Ways, all that kind of stuff. It's quite nice stuff.
We're still eating ours now. Still
got it.
We ate all ours before we came home.
We ate some and then we gave some away to my son-in-law's kids. So we thought we'd better get rid of this, or we're going to just eat a lot of it. But we really enjoyed Mickey's Not So Scary. It's great. It's expensive. People say it's expensive. It is quite expensive for what it is, but it's definitely worth getting in early. And, you know, you can, it's parts a bit quieter and you can enjoy things, and then just make sure you're ready to go, because the two big things are the Halloween parade, which in my opinion is the best parade that Disney does. We saw the Christmas one last year and it is very, very good. It's definitely improved and it is really good, but I still think the Halloween one tops it, in particular the Pirates of the Caribbean section and the Haunted Mansion section. And then you've got the... Go ahead, Greg.
We watched it by, not by Pecos Bills, just down the road from Pecos Bills.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
And on the approach, like it was like 15 minutes ago, me and Phil went to Pecos Bills to get some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then They had, I can't remember what the menu was. I think it was chicken wings, some sort of chicken wings. Oh, yeah, we'll have them, something or other. Well, they weren't ready, were they? So they had to cook them. Basically, there was a queue to cook them.
Oh, crap.
So next thing, we're running out with like 5 liters of fizzy drinks and these chicken wings, and we only just made it back for the parade. But
But you
it
saw it, yeah.
definitely, yeah, it's that bit of the park's a bit quieter for the parade. So,
Yeah.
It's the perfect spot. We watched the Christmas parade from exactly the same spot.
Yeah, it's good. We did it last year from there, but this year we were actually on we were on Main Street, but we were just outside of Main Street, if you know what I mean. We were kind of halfway between Casey's and the Hub, right? On the same side as not the Casey's side, but the Plaza side. And it was great because I was videoing it, and as I videoed down the street towards the entrance, everything's lit up. This whole the main street's got different lighting for Halloween, different music. And then as I panned back, here comes the Headless Horseman. So I got a cracking shot of the Headless Horseman coming right down Main Street. And then it's funny because everybody then cheers the little guy who runs behind the Headless Horseman picking up all the horse poop. There's a little guy with a little trash can on wheels that runs behind
That's
him.
why Ryan's there.
Yeah, it's his holiday job. But yeah, I mean, the parade is phenomenal. It's a
His
shame there's
holiday
only
jobby.
one. Yeah, definitely jobbies. We watched the fireworks from the Hub, and it's great. It's a really good fireworks show. You got Jack Skellington, who kind of compares it, and it's good. It is busy in the Hub, and it's funny, you know. That we were talking about it. That's the only thing now that really, when it comes to Disney, that I kind of dread a little bit is watching the fireworks from the Hub. And because of what they've done, here's one of my opinions or one of my observations here. So when you watch Wishes, right? Wishes, and I did rewatch it on YouTube recently, and
Wishes.
it's fantastic, right? But Wishes didn't really have any projection map, and it was just different colors on the castle. So you didn't really have to be in the Hub to appreciate it. You could be up Main Street, you could be at the other end of Main Street. But now because of the projection map, and most people try and get as close to the castle as they can, and it is a zoo in the Hub. It really is. And I was a little bit disappointed in that we managed to get a spot. We got there about half an hour before the fireworks started, and we got a spot right by one of the taped walkways. You know, they put the tape on the floor.
Yeah.
And we thought, great, because
Awful.
we're right at the front of it, yeah. So we're thinking, well, we've got at least sort of 7 or 8 feet between us and the people in front of us, because we've got the walkway here. But Disney didn't enforce it, and so people just filled in when it got about 5 minutes before the fireworks. People basically just filled that in, and I was disappointed at that, because any time before, well, there's a walkway, Disney would police it. So it's either a walkway or it isn't, you know. Anyway, it was fine. We had a really good view, but we did have one of these families who bowled up 2 minutes before the fireworks, which is fine. I haven't got a problem with that. What I've got a problem with is they then start holding up phones, waving them around, putting the kids on the shoulder, just generally kind of causing a bit of a scene, really, you know. Anyway, they disappeared halfway through it, so it was all fine. It was great, but that's
That type of family.
yeah, that type of family. And I honestly think now that I've come to the conclusion that if I want to watch the fireworks, I'll just pay for a dessert party, right? I never thought I'd say that, but I think I would. I
Amen,
think I'd just
brother.
pay for one of these
Yeah,
spots. Yeah, you've converted me, Craig.
preaching to the crowd here, Mr. Day.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't recommend the one I did at California Adventure for World of Color more.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me
What
wrong. We've
I don't like about the Hub is the trees. They've planted all these new trees, and they might be 5, 10 years old. Them trees are going to mature into big, big trees, and you're looking through obscured views
No.
in a lot of the Hub.
And then they
Yeah.
added those turrets as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just silly.
Yeah. I mean, it's not designed for the crowds that they're getting now. It was fine 10, 15 years
No.
ago. And like I say, it was fine when it was not a projection show. but they haven't really kind of anticipated, you know, what's happening there. But anyway, it's fine. I mean, it's just a little bit more stressful than I'd like it to be, but it worked out great. We saw the parade. We didn't do that many rides. We did a couple of rides earlier on, but just for fun. We weren't bothered about the rides too much. We did some trick-or-treating. We got an ice cream. You know, we just tried to soak up the vibe, and it was a really nice vibe. Some fantastic costumes. Honestly, I videoed some people. You wouldn't believe it. There was a whole family that were dressed up as the Haunted Mansion, right? And what I mean by that is there was, and this is like 95 degrees. I mean, how the fuck they stood it, I've got no idea. So the husband is dressed up like the Hatbox Ghost, right? The kid is the head. The kid was in a buggy that they'd done up like the Hatbox, right? So the kid is like the head in the Hatbox in a pushchair, and the husband is like headless Hatbox Ghost. The elder kid was dressed up like the bride, complete with veil and axe and wedding dress and all of that. And the mother was Madame Leota. So she's got her face all done up like Madame Leota, you know, the makeup and stuff, in a plastic bowl, right? 95 degrees. In a plastic bowl, and she's wearing a table with a tablecloth. So it's like the bowl is sitting on a table, and she's walking about with this. It is unbelievable, really. And we saw lots of good costumes. It's such a fun thing, even though, you know, it's $140 a ticket's cost us. But it is a great event. But we did manage to get a virtual boarding group for Tron that night. So we rode Tron for the first time ever at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And, you know, I'd read some stuff. I hadn't watched any spoilers, but you've obviously seen pictures and didn't really know what to expect. So I tried not to play it up too much. I was like, look, okay, people are saying this is okay, but it's not that great. It's a bit short. And anyway, we went on it. We all thought it was really good. I mean, I got to say, I thought it was a cracking ride. I will say that I'm a little bit surprised at the lack of the pre-show and the lack of the storytelling. I mean, there is a very, very kind of lightweight story about you're racing against your blue team and you're racing against orange team. And then on the ride, that there is a little bit of that, which I didn't actually notice the first time. I noticed it the second time that there is actually like another sort of, on a screen, there's an orange team that you're racing against. But the bit where the ride is actually revealed is fantastic. And the actual ride itself, I thought, was fantastic. But I will say, it's better at night. We rode it three times, I think. Once at night, twice in a day. And it's a little bit better at night. And it's definitely better if you ride the front row. Because we waited for a front row twice, I think. And I just thought it was really good. I didn't think it was too short. I thought it was all right. What did you think of it, Craig? You did get on it eventually, didn't you? I know you had trouble with it.
Yeah. I rode it twice. And yeah, it's a solid coaster. For me, it's like, I haven't been since 2019, so everything was new. I'd still have Velocicoaster and Hagrid's above it at Universal, and I'd put Guardians above it as well. So it's the
out of the
four new coasters that I got to experience, it's the fourth. It's a seven out of ten, whereas the others were eight and nines.
Yeah,
it's that Disney hype thing, isn't it? Where, you know, it's a block of cheese, but it's the best block of cheese that ever there was because it's a Disney block of cheese.
I think the issue you've got as well is that it was such a big thing in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Because exactly. It is basically that entire land is Tron.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I've said it to other people, it feels like it's been shoved in where they could put it with not much more thought to it. It doesn't have the views that the Shanghai one's got.
Yeah, obviously I can't speak to that. I will say, though, that they've done a really good job of it. I mean, I thought the building was stunning, and that's why I'm saying it is definitely better at night, because as you walk into the building, it's all lit up, and then it changes from blue to orange at times, and the lights actually follow the ride vehicles as they go through. There's like little kind of lights that track it on the ceiling, and yeah, I thought, I did think that the building was pretty spectacular. I don't know what it looks like in Shanghai, I got to be honest. Maybe it's more spectacular there, but
it's similar, but it's the focal point of the land. So they've kind of expanded on it. And so it's on different levels and you kind of walk down to it. Whereas this one, I think you just walk pretty much straight into the building, don't you? There's no kind of walk around it. You're kind of straight into it. Whereas that one, there's kind of viewing points of the ride as well around the building.
You are.
So I think it is just the fact that they've had to shrink it to put it into Magic Kingdom. There's no doubt in that either, because there just isn't the space, unfortunately, not in that area. Which I'm intrigued to see, because I think it's probably going to get built in California as well at some point with this expansion, and I wonder what version they'll get.
I mean, it does enhance the whole area at night as well, though, because like I say, the Tron is obviously lit up blue, and then you've got little times when it changes to orange, but then it's right beside Spaceship Earth, which is lit up at night, and then you've got the Astro Orbiters, which is lit up. So it does make it a more kind of dramatic skyline at night.
And
And
that's what I will say, that land is probably the best looking one at Magic Kingdom because of the lighting package that it's already got. So to add Tron to it, I can only imagine how much of an improvement it makes.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that was it, really. We really enjoyed the fireworks. We really enjoyed the party. It was a great night. We stayed until the end, and it was great at the end, because I will encourage people, if you can stay late, because when the park's empty out, they're fantastic at night. There's the lights, the
We did.
music, it's just amazing, really. Have an ice cream and just let the park empty out and just sit and watch everybody. It's just so good. Anyway, then kind of the next night we went to the studios, and we booked a Fantasmic dinner package. So if anybody's interested in that, you can book it in advance, just like an ADR, and there's only a limited number of them, and it gets you priority seating for Fantasmic, but it is a like a set price dinner. So Heather and Nick, they went to Sci-Fi, and Kerry and I decided we're going to go Hollywood Brown Derby. We hadn't been there for a long time. We had an absolutely fantastic meal in Hollywood Brown Derby. I mean, I remember it fondly when we used to do free dining. Obviously, this time we were paying for it, but it's not cheap. It is a signature, but it was so good. And the guy that we had was amazing. I mean, he couldn't, he was explaining everything. He was checking you were okay. He made a really good suggestion, because you get either a starter and a main course, or you get a main course and a dessert, and you get a drink as well. And what he said is, hey, the desserts are really big in here. What a lot of people do is they get one starter and share it, main course each, and then get a dessert and share it. And that's what we did. We got the grapefruit cake for dessert, and I can't remember what the starter was now, but the whole meal was just great. Really a real highlight of the holiday. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And then you get your tickets for the Fantasmic dinner package. You go in a separate entrance, you show your tickets, and you get really good seats right in the middle.
Go bonk. I mean, we did Sci-Fi Diner this time. It was all right. Like, it is what it is in there. You don't know what you're eating because it's so dark. You gotta have your phone lights
That's
on.
right.
But it's like, then they give you paper tickets. It's also like you're this multinational Disney Plus conglomerate. Why can't you just stick it on your Magic Band when you make the booking, and then you and then you scan it in? But to be fair, I mean, why does it have to be the Fantasmic dinner package? Why does it have to be limited to Hollywood Studios restaurants? Why can't you have it any restaurant?
I suppose.
And then you
Yeah, I
just
don't
make
know.
your way over. But it's a brilliant pack. It's a brilliant option to do, and you are guaranteed the
It's
best
good.
seats in the house.
The seats were spot on, right in the middle. Couldn't be better. It was a packed show. you know, they've got the new scenes, which we'd seen last year, but we'd only seen them once before. Yeah, loved it. I mean, anybody, I meet people who've been to Disney themselves, who've never been to Fantasmic, and you're like, what? You're missing one of the best shows,
yep.
you know?
Yeah,
if you
were in that park or Disneyland for most of the time, obviously not at the moment, if you don't see Fantasmic and it's on, I don't know what the point in going to the studios is. If you miss that, then that's... I don't know. It's for me, it will always hold memories because it was the first park I went to and it was the first what I would call Disney spectacular that I saw.
It was your first fight on Disney property, Ronnie.
It also was. Yeah. It was my one and only fight on Disney property. But, I will always go and see it if I'm in that park.
Yeah.
Even the last time I went, when Sam was very little, and I went off and I did it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't miss it. I had to see it at least once.
Yeah,
imagine a Fantasmic 80s air party. You know, you could just keep going, couldn't you?
I think
you give it another block.
Didn't they used to do that?
I don't know.
I thought they did. I mean, I'm going back like 10 years ago, but I thought they did something like that.
I think they did something where you got like a little snack pack.
Yeah, and you had
like they gave
you.
Because
it used to be the Fantasmic seats were at the, looking at the stage, they were at the right. Yeah, they weren't that great, really.
Oh, they were awful.
Yeah, now they've moved them to the centre now, which is much better.
Yeah, which I think they swapped with the Fast Pass seats.
Right.
Because when I did the Fast Pass, I was smack bang in the middle. I couldn't have been any more central.
Yeah, and we were quite tactical this time. As we walked in, obviously, you know, it's bench seating. But last year, we got stuck behind some nutters. So we were on high nutter alert. You know,
I wasn't
sure
there,
that...
just so you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we tried to position ourselves, and you know, no offense, but we tried to position ourselves not in front of any. We were looking for some boring old farts to sit behind. That's what you want to look for, right? You don't want to look for people that have got lightsabers that they're going to wave in front of you, flashing ears, dozens of kids, hyperactive teenagers, you know. So we sat.
Do not just have a boring old fart in a package.
Yeah, I think that's what you should have, right? All the boring old farts should sit in one area.
The pensioner package.
Right? Yeah, that's it. You know, and we just sit there eating our soup. You know, braised just watching
steak.
The show. You know,
you can have a special straw for your soup.
Small pieces. You know, cut up into small pieces. Anyway, it was great. We love Fantasmic. Fantastic. And then next day, we tried to get on Rotten Roller Coaster and it broke down, right? And again, right as we were literally about to get on it, it broke down. But it had been breaking down all the time we were in the queue. And we went back a couple of days later and it broke down again. Rotten Roller Coaster is suffering some fairly major reliability issues when we were there. It needs a refurb. I know there's been rumours about it's going to be rethemed or whatever, but it's a cracking ride, but it definitely needs some work.
Unfortunately, I worry about a retheme considering what they did in Paris.
Yeah, I know. It's great as it is. And we watched the pre-show, right? And actually now, what we thought was an anomaly last year is actually the norm. So the cast member who's in the room when they do the pre-show, the first time it's the bit where they say, what are we going to do about our fans? And the cast member at the back shouts, what about some backstage passes? And then, of course, in the actual pre-show, they say, "Hey, backstage passes. I love that idea." But we had a cast member who was constantly adding little things in. "Hey, what about that Les Paul? Should we get that? Yeah, get that. Get my Les Paul, man." And he was just so good, you know. Anyway, we watched the pre-show from beginning to end, and we've never actually seen the end before, and nothing much happens. Just some people come in and out. And then eventually it just goes to a black screen. But we made sure we watched it because who knows, it might be the last time we see it. But it's still a good ride. It just needs a lot of work. I don't know what was going on. Maybe we were just unlucky, but we saw it down a lot when we were there.
No, anyway, even back in 2019, it was struggling. Me and Nick queued for quite a while for it.
Yeah.
When we did it. So I think it's... And obviously, that's why they redid Paris, because I assume they did quite a bit of work on that track-wise.
On the plus side, though, I will say that Rise of the Resistance seemed much more reliable. We didn't see that down half as much. No.
Did you get the B-mode Kylo Ren?
I got... No. Well, what is the B-mode Kylo Ren? I don't think we did.
He's in a spaceship outside.
Oh, no. We didn't get that. No, he was there. And, you know, we got the almost sucked out into space Kylo Ren. Is that right?
Oh,
is
yeah.
That
the... Yeah.
You do have to remember that's a 30-year-old animatronic.
Yeah, where did that come from then?
It's the Wicked Witch.
Is
from
it
the
really?
Great
I wonder
movie
where she ended up. Yeah, I wonder where she ended up.
Yeah, if you watch the movements, it's exactly the same as she does when she gets pulled away.
I'm really surprised at that because, you know, they're talking about these new servo-driven animatronics.
Yeah.
Unless they converted her from
that was the most expensive animatronic they'd made at the time, though, wasn't it?
I'm still... I don't even want to talk about it. I'm still gutted about it.
Yeah.
We rode Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and it's fine. But
oh, it's brilliant.
It's fine. It's good. You know, I like the song. Song's like a proper little earworm. And there's some good bits in it, but it's not the great movie, right? And it's I would have been fine if they'd put Mickey and Minnie's in somewhere else and redid the great movie, right?
Everybody's going to hate me for saying it, but I hate those character designs.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I'm not a fan of those shorts at all.
I know they're polarizing. I think they're okay. I don't mind that, but
I like Ren and Stimpy.
I'm more gutted about the fact that, you know, the great movie rides. Why? I mean, they've got streaming. They've got all these different streaming platforms. You know, it's fantastic advertisement for the streaming platforms to just update the great movie ride. But anyway, it's gone. So there we are. So next day we did Epcot and we did Tepanido, which was great. We've done that a few times before, but we got a good group because you get seated at a table and we had a nice couple on one side and another nice couple on another side, and the lady who was the chef was just phenomenal, really funny, really good, did all the little tricks.
I know quite a few people that have been in there recently and have really loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. It's such a good restaurant. I mean, and the food is good. It's fairly simple, but it's really tasty, and you know, you can see it being cooked, so you can see the quality of the steak, for example, and everything's cooked fresh right in front of you. It's excellent. So we had a good time there. We watched Epcot Forever. That's a good show, actually. I mean, they don't have the kites that they had originally, but it's a good show. And the thing about I like about it is, okay, it's not Illuminations, but it celebrates Epcot. It's got, you know, the songs from Epcot, Will Not Spark and Tomorrow's Child and all of that. And I really hope that Luminous is done that theme and not like Harmonious, which was just fucking Disney's greatest hits that we've had so many times before. And they're even talking about putting it in Country Bears Jamboree, which I think is an absolute mistake. But anyway, you know, go back to something like Illuminations. That's what it needs to be. So we'll see. But Epcot Forever,
at least we've got barges that don't stay in the lake this time.
Yeah, and they're quite subtle. And I did actually fulfil a lifetime's ambition, albeit it didn't quite work out as I'd hoped. So, been gone for 25 years, been there 15 times. I've never taken one of those little friendships across the lake in Epcot. I've taken them from the studios to Epcot, and you know, but I've never actually taken one across the lake. So anyway, this day we say, right, okay, I'm gonna get one of these boats. And it only goes from, I think it was from like Italy to the top of the lake where the shop is, so by Canada sort of thing. So it doesn't really go very far, but I thought, I'm doing it, right? So we get on the boat and the heavens open, and the guy says, I think we're going to have to cancel this boat because there's thunder and lightning in the area. And I'm like, no, you've got to be kidding me. You know, 25 years I've waited for this. Anyway, they did actually take us across the lake, and the heavens did open. And I've never seen rain like it. Epcot was actually flooded. There was a part of Epcot around Mexico where it was about 4 inches deep. You could not get past No, you know, no matter what you did, you couldn't get past it. Anyway,
didn't have the drainage in the wall.
No, I just couldn't handle the amount of rain we had. To be honest, it was a massive amount of rain. It was thunder and lightning like you wouldn't believe. You know, they stopped everything. It only lasted about an hour, but we got stuck under that the canopy for that shop that at the top of, you know, where kind of World Showcase meets what used to be Future World, the big gift shop there. We got stuck there for about 40 minutes before it eased off enough. But yeah, that was great. We did Guardians of the Galaxy a couple of times. I think we got two virtual boarding groups, and I think we paid for it once as well. But the only songs that we'd never had were Tears for Fears and Gloria Estefan, and we got Gloria Estefan twice, and we didn't get Tears for Fears. But still, it doesn't make any difference. It's a phenomenal ride. But the first time we rode it was the 21st of September, and somebody had posted on Instagram, it's September Day on Guardians of the Galaxy, because that song September, in the words, it talks about it being the 21st of September. So that was the first time we rode it on this holiday, and guess what we got? September. So we got September on the 21st of September on Guardians of the Galaxy. Phenomenal.
Brilliant.
It's the best, I think it's the best ride, honestly. It's Disney's best ride. And I don't know, if you offered me Hagrid's Velocicoaster and Guardians, and you said you can only pick one, I'd pick Guardians. Hands down. Anyway, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. It is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's got everything. I mean, it's a good roller coaster. It's got all the effects, all the music. It's got everything. The other two rides I'm talking about are phenomenal, but this is super phenomenal. Anyway, we did Space 2020 again. That was good. But we made a mistake and we booked the lounge. And I don't know if that's something that's changed now. So you've got to be careful when you book it. We wanted the bar, and I didn't even know there was a separate reservation. So I think there's like the restaurant, the lounge, and the bar. Or there's just the lounge and a bar, I'm not sure. But we'd booked the lounge, and they said, no, that's only if you're having food. So we had to wait while a table or stools opened up at the bar. So we sat at the bar, and it was great. I mean, we enjoyed it, but we had to wait about 20 minutes, which was fine. And we had a couple of cocktails at the bar, and we had some snacks at the bar. There's a limited menu you can get at the bar. So we had the spiced cauliflower, I think it was, and it was really good. A couple of chicken wings, it was a couple of things, but it was really good. What else would I? So one thing I wanted to talk about was the cast members. So the last time we went, we noticed that, I mean, Disney have always been super strong on their cast members, you know, really positive, really helpful, you know, really professional. And we noticed the last time that, yeah, there were a couple of ropey cast, not ropey, but it wasn't quite as consistent as experience. And it was probably because of the pandemic. They probably took on a lot of new people, maybe didn't have time to train them or get them experienced or whatever. But what we noticed this time was they're back on the top game again. I mean, we didn't experience a bad cast member the whole time we were there. And we gave loads of cast members cast compliments using the My Disney Experience app. It must have been at least one a day, I've got to say, sometimes twice. The worst that we experienced was a cast member that was okay, you know, kind of civil, but not kind of over-friendly. But we met some just fantastic cast members that were really friendly, seemed to be enjoying the job. You know, it wasn't just a job, but they were actually happy to talk to you. It wasn't just like, oh, somebody's told me I've got to talk to you, so I'm going to talk to you. Have a nice day, you know. It was more genuine than that.
Yeah,
so we really thought the cast members were back on top form again. You know?
Good to hear.
Yeah, there was one guy on Tower of Terror, a guy called Ty, and he is just unbelievable. I mean, he is in character. He is spooky, creepy, funny Tower of Terror cast member loading you into the lifts, you know. All the stuff, all the mannerisms and the have a nice day and, you know, all of that stuff. Just phenomenal. The app in general was pretty good, actually. I mean, we used it for a lot of things. So I think My Disney Experience app is coming a long way. I think it's pretty good. I think the Wi-Fi is okay. It's a bit patchy in places. We did quite a lot of food and wine this time, which really enjoyed that. Everything that we ate pretty much was great. I mean, small plates, but I thought it was phenomenal, really. I thought you ate quite a bit in food and wine, didn't you, Craig? You ate some stuff.
Yeah, we filled our boots. Yeah. I just found it was very stewy, very beefy, very comfort foody in places. But for my first food and wine, I don't know if we did it right. I think I said we spent somewhere around $600 on it.
Wow.
But we literally went balls deep. We were going to each country and just buying everything. And it was, I mean, the kids were bored off the head. So we'd try and do it a bit different next time. But I loved it. It was unbelievable, to be honest. What an event.
Yeah. It is a big money spinner for them. I mean, especially in the weekends, you know, it's really, really busy. But it was just such a nice thing to do. We just snacked on different things and, you know, tried different things. And, yeah, I thought it was all, pretty much everything we had was good. We didn't do that many table service restaurants. We did, I've talked about Hollywood Brown Derby and Tepanido. I think the only other one we did was we did Chef Art Smith's at Disney Springs, which is phenomenal. Always good. Been there a few times. And we did Boma for breakfast, which was good. It's all, again, it's always good, but I think they've cut back the variety of the food a little bit. It just didn't seem to be quite the same variety as there has been in the past. But it's still good and great to go around the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's a phenomenal resort. So we had a wander around there and looked at the animals and stuff, and it's just a fantastic place. We did Soarin' Around the World, and then it changed to Soarin' Over California. So we saw both versions of that, which is great. And, you know, the new version, the old version, the California version, holds up really well. I mean, the music's phenomenal. They had all the smell effects going. And the film, although it's not a high definition film that you get now, it's at least it's not that Taj Mahal CGI crap. It is a properly good film, and we really enjoyed that. What else? One thing that was an unexpected highlight was we went to the Frozen sing along show in Hollywood Studios, and we'd done that before, and we thought it was pretty good. And we thought, right, okay, well, we got a bit of time, you know, there's a show just coming up, let's go in and we'll watch that. But it was so good. I mean, and what made it were the live performers, you know. It was like a pantomime. They were an out-and-out comedy duo, the two people that did it. And at first you were like, wow, this is a bit over the top, you know, and then you kind of get into it, and they were hilarious. I mean, they just gave it 100%. And it just made it so funny. So I wouldn't skip that one. I think it's definitely, it probably depends. It's a bit like Halloween horror makeup show. Probably depends on who you get, but it was really good. We did Rise of Resistance, phenomenal. We used Lightning Lane for that. What else did we do? We did a couple of lounges. We did the Enchanted Rose Lounge at Grand Floridian as well as Trader Sam's. That was pretty good. We used, like I say, we did use Genie Plus a couple of times, and it was fine. I mean, I definitely think you've got to put some effort into Genie Plus. You've got to kind of stack. You've got to know the rules. You've got to understand how it works. You've got to do your research, and then you've got to kind of stack your rides. And if you do that, then you can get your money's worth out of it. But I must admit, for things like Rise of the Resistance, we just thought, you know what, we're just going to pay for it. We're not going to get up early and hope it doesn't break down and whatever. So we're just going to pay for it. So we did. We paid for it, and it was fine. It was really good. When we did Food and Wine, we watched two of the Eat to the Beat concerts. They were phenomenal. Two really good acts that we'd never heard of before. Can't remember what they were called now. Amigos Invisibles and something else, Amigos, can't remember. Two sort of Latin American acts, but they were just phenomenal. The crowds were going mad, good crowds. Really enjoyed that. Yeah, that was probably most of it, really. I think we had a bear in the Magic Kingdom one of the days that we were there.
Were you there? Yeah.
Yeah, we were heading for the Magic Kingdom and we heard it was shot, so we went somewhere else instead. I can't remember where we went to, but apparently they captured it later on and released it into the wild.
I thought you captured it, Mr. Day.
Well, we tried to, you know. I don't like to take credit for it, you know, but we did apprehend a bear. Let's just say that, shall we? We were actually gutted because we wanted to do the Country Bear Jamboree. And because of Halloween Horror, because of Mickey's Not So Scary, they used that as a trick-or-treat station. So they weren't running it the days that we wanted to go. So we didn't actually get to see the Country Bear Jamboree. And I don't know when it's going to change, but obviously it's going to change. I mean, it's not gone away, but it's going to be reworked.
Don't think it's going to be long before they do it, because they had all the artwork and everything ready to go, didn't they, at D23? Yeah. So I don't think that can be far from shutting down for a larger portion, I would imagine.
Yeah. So that's a shame, but it's a good attraction. I quite like it. I hope they don't wreck it.
It's a classic, isn't it? Whatever people say, it's one of those rides that, or attractions that people know because of how long it's been there.
We forgot to do it this time, but I do love it.
Look what happened with the Tiki Room when they tried to change that. It didn't. So don't be surprised if it lasts about 18 months and then reverts back to the old version again.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, Mr. D. Craig, did you have any more questions before we wrap up?
No, I think he's obviously had a boss time, and it's on our bucket list as well to stay in the Poly. It's one of them, though. We're constantly drawn to the Beach Club.
Yeah.
And although I was watching the Lodge guys the other day and they walked into Animal Kingdom Lodge and my heart broke a little bit. Me and Kenny were like, we were sitting there on our last morning. Oh, that's where we were That's where we were standing in reception when we were arguing about the debit card. it was just like...
Happy memories.
Although I've said I wouldn't go back there, do you know, if the price is right, I'd go back there.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd love to go.
It's funny to say that. We saw the Lodge guys in Disney Springs. So they were actually vlogging in Disney Springs. We saw the Lodge guys. We saw Night Strider at Halloween Horror Nights. We saw Molly, who used to work for Ollie's. What's her podcast now? Our vlog called? We saw Princess and the Bear. They do a lot of food vlogging at Disney. So yeah, there's loads of vloggers. Mainly around Food and Wine and Halloween Horror Nights. We saw Night Strider Horror Nights. So yeah, lots of vloggers kicking about. Just to summarize, it was fantastic. I mean, you know, Disney gets a lot of stick for how much it costs, and they get a lot of stick for how hard they make it to plan the trip, you know, in terms of park reservations and stuff like that. And that is true. I'm not gonna deny any of that. It is an expensive holiday, but then it's all expensive. I thought Universal was just as expensive as Disney in most cases. It is an expensive holiday, but it's still as good as ever it was in terms of the content, you know. I just hope the company doesn't change with all this stuff about potential takeovers and stuff like that. I just hope that they don't lose sight of, you know, what's good.
Oh, when Apple buy it, mate, it'll be better. Don't worry about it.
I don't mind if it's better, you know, but it's
your
just
HomePod in every room. Boss.
Yeah. Oh, they did have the Hey Mickey or Hey Disney in the room at the Poly. I tried to use it once and I just gave up on it. It's like, I don't need this, you know. It's like, hey Disney. You can either say Hey Siri or you can say Hey Disney. And there's a little thing that sits on the table, and, you know, hey, Disney, I need somebody to come and pick up my luggage. It'll do all that stuff for you, or book a dining reservation or whatever. But we didn't really try out. We didn't need to. I sort of played around with it for 5 minutes and then got bored, and then went out and did something more exciting. So, yeah, great. Happy days.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. D. That's been wonderful to hear about that trip. As I say, the Poly is top of my list to get out there and stay at. Before we go, Craig, do you want to let the listeners know about the Patreon deal that we have at the moment?
Patreon deal is, it's still $2 a month. We still get some wonderful Enhance the Park extra content. We get all the big shows released early to the Patreons. But now you can try free for 7 days. You can't listen to the hundreds of hours of content in 7 days. Well, maybe
unless you stay awake for those 7 days.
We want a video of someone staying awake listening to all the content. You'd slowly go mad. I think by Wednesday you'd jump out of a window. But
possibly. Yeah. We just thought we'd let you know that you can you can try us out for free for 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's wonderful. If you want to join us, we have had a couple. We don't know who you are.
Yeah. Waving.
Yeah, we've had a couple that have jumped on. Doesn't tell us who's taken up the deal, because all we can see is that we've got two more subscribers, and the funds that we get hasn't gone up. So it's got to be the freebies.
Yeah.
So if you want to let us know who you are, drop us a message.
Yeah.
Because it'd be nice to know your thoughts on what we're doing. So on that note, that is our second episode for October. Me and Craig are now buggering off on holiday for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
Jerry Dodgers.
So there still will be content. The next Universal show is already done, so that'll be out next week. We'll get to the Patreons when we can. It won't be too long afterwards. Or it might even be possibly on time, depending on what we can do. But for now, thank you for listening, and we will see you somewhere down the road.
Boo to you.
Or up that road.
Why? Because we like you.
Kick it!
Can't get enough, can't get enough!
Kick the 1, 2, 3!
Mickey Mania! Never gonna end Mickey Mania!
You're
my Mickey Mania!
He's really a nice mouse.
He sure is!
Now hold on, move it, live it up, prove it, give it a rock,
the house of the mouse!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.